My name is Vicky Tiglius. I'm a quality improvement manager at the Primary Care Information Project at the New York City Department of Public Health and Mental Hygiene. I manage the larger practices there. So today's presentation is going to be on improving patient care in community health centers using an electronic health record. Okay, so I have no disclosures. So recognizing the potential for health information technology to reduce disparities and improve health, particularly in underserved communities, the city's health commissioner formed the Primary Care Information Project in January 2005. Its purpose was to help primary care providers practicing in medically underserved areas improve preventive care, adopting an electronic health record with a focus on population health and improving health outcomes. So as you can see in the map, these are the areas within the five boroughs of New York City that we've impacted thus far. And we have 2,200 providers using an electronic health record distributed among our community health centers, our outpatient hospital departments, and our small practices. So our approach is healthcare that maximizes health. So what we like to look at is implementing these electronic health records and recognizing that just by doing that at the practices, it's not solving any problems. You actually have to support them and implement prevention care management and also align those efforts with payment rewards. So these are the services that our practices receive from implementation, from outreach all the way through go live. As you can imagine, a lot of these practices in medically underserved areas weren't too enthusiastic about adopting electronic health records. So we do have a dedicated outreach team that makes these calls. We helped subsidize the electronic health records and provided software licenses. So that did help some of them get on board. But today's focus is going to be on the areas that are highlighted in post-go live. So here I've just outlined the amount of CHCs that I work with. At the point of my abstract back in January, I was actually working with 12 community health centers, but as you can see in the chart to the bottom right, we've expanded to 30 that I'm currently working with and implementing another 11. In total, we work with 2,459 providers, so very high population of providers we work with. So this is the overview for our scope of services. One of the major services we provide to our practices is workflow redesign. It's a really important process for defining staff roles, designing practice-specific training materials, and configuring the EHR to fit the needs of the practice. This process begins shortly after a practice signs on with the Primary Care Information Project. So we have implementation specialists that will work directly with the practice in identifying what we call their as-is workflows. So how do they do things right now currently using a paper chart? And they work with them to map them out in what's called the to-be workflows. Once these practices go live, we actually send out our quality improvement specialists, which work with the practices, to reevaluate these to-be workflows and make sure that the way they were mapped out is still appropriate. Oftentimes, we do make tweaks to these workflows. As you can imagine, things have changed in the process. The practice didn't know what they were getting involved in. So also in this chart, you can just see there all the other services that get rolled out. I just wanted to add that we do have super user specialists, which are called our EMR consulting, and these staff members are really important in helping configure the electronic health record to meet the practice's needs. What they do is they help simplify documentation, which really helps the providers get the patients in and out of the office quicker, and they make doing what's right the easy thing to do. So specifically speaking, these are our quality improvement services. We have everything from improving health outcomes by helping the practices work on the preventive health features that have been implemented into their electronic health records. We help them with pay-for-performance programs, patient-centered medical home recognition, meaningful use, and other additional resources as they apply to the electronic health record. So electronic prescribing, patient portal, things like that. Really what happens at the point of the initial visit is we do a thorough quality improvement assessment. We really identify what the practice is doing currently for quality improvement efforts, who's on their team, what kind of leadership buy-in they have, and really what their goals are. So some of our practices do need that team building assistance. So Other practices don't. They're very advanced. They might just need our assistance with, developing advanced reporting. So we do cater the program to what they need, but I'll get into a little bit more detail on each of these services. Starting with our clinical decision support system, this automatically displays preventive service alerts that are suppressed when addressed. It really helps the provider prioritize things with the patients at the point of care. And these alerts populate based on basic demographics of that patient. They're measures that were taken from 10 priority health areas of New York City, and these are called our Take Care New York measures. They include things like knowing your HIV status, assessing smoking cessation annually, getting immunizations that you're eligible for. So it really helps the providers just act on things that are overdue for that patient. The system also comes equipped with registry functionality. It helps them query and filter information that's in their electronic health record. It helps them do population management. So if they wanted to run a query for a group that has a specific chronic condition and that hasn't been seen for a while, that hasn't come in for an office visit, they can generate that list of patients. And if you can see down here to the bottom of the screen, it tells them they can choose a letter. So there's some predefined letters that come with the system, but really they have the ability to take action and send out those reminder letters to the patient. They can also just use the list itself, which has the patient name and telephone number if they just wanted to do phone calls. And I'll take a quick second to do a plug for my colleague, Dan Gottlieb, who actually has a session on Wednesday, specifically around panel management, as it's tied into a program at PCIP for our small practices. So hopefully you can make it out to that session. The system also has a quality measure reporting capabilities. So taking those Take Care New York measures, they have specific inclusion and exclusion criteria, but the providers and the practices have the ability to run these measures on their own at any given time. And I've just highlighted here the ability for the practices to, drill down on these measures a little further by primary care provider, which we really encourage them to do. If you actually drill down even further from just associating them to the primary care provider, you have the ability to get the patient lists, and it's clear to see which patients are in the numerator versus the ones that didn't make the numerator because the color differentiation will pop up. So the patients that are in your numerator are in green, the ones that didn't make your numerator are in black. So if you really wanted to do additional outreach to these patients, you can then contact the patients in black, get them back into your office, and help do those preventive services. So some of these measures, we do quality assurance. You might be asking yourself, well, how does PCIP help these practices if they have all the tools that they need in the electronic health record? What we get is on a monthly basis is a transmission of the data. So it's at the practice and provider level. We only get numerators and denominators, but it helps us see these Take Care New York measures and how the providers are doing at these health centers. And actually, we get it for all our practices. But we can help track the performance improvement if the practice has set specific goals. In addition, we get utilization data, which tells us exactly how the system is being used. So it actually counts the number of clicks for certain features. It's really important to get this information because not only does it tie into the pay-for-performance programs we have, we kind of use that data to pay out, but it also, with the utilization data, it tells us which areas of the electronic health record are being underutilized, so it helps us cater our training materials. These are just some of the basic findings that I've outlined from feeding back this type of data with the providers. So we were finding that when we would give them their patient panel lists, it was actually not their true panel lists. We find out that the software feature was actually being misused by community health centers. You can almost imagine they're just seeing anyone that comes through the door. They're not looking at these patients as their patients. So we really have been doing a lot of work with helping them identify who their panel is. They just had an overall lack of knowledge regarding what some of our Take Care New York measures were. I mean, they were, you know, implemented in the initial training from the vendor, and I'm sure they only absorbed, you know, a minimal amount of that information. So we do a lot of training around the measures and the functionality on the clicks. And then just basic documentation errors. There's also a bunch of EHR limitations. Being that these community health centers are so large, they often do external reporting. So they like to be able to run lists of their patients, and there's some limitations, for example, with the registry queries. They only provide unique patients. So if your patient actually presented to your health center 3 times in the 1 month query that you're looking at, their name will only appear once, and it's not necessarily clear which visit it was for. So other ways we've helped the practices improve their documentation and their patient care delivery is through pay-for-performance programs, the first one being the Healthy Hearts. It was a Robin Hood Foundation grant, and 7 of our CHCs participated in this. It paid for meeting specific numerator inclusion on heart healthy measures, and I'll get into that in just a second. But what's really important here was that the incentives increased if the patient had a comorbidity, so for example, if they had diabetes or hypertension, and they increased even more if the patient was uninsured or on Medicaid. So these are the quality measures that were specific to the Healthy Hearts program. We call them the ABCs, aspirin, blood pressure control, cholesterol control, and smoking cessation intervention. And these, those measures actually were a subset of the Take Care New York measures, so it's not like these providers were bombarded with even more quality measures. It was already the alerts that were popping up. This is just an example of one of the Healthy Hearts quality reports that were distributed to the practices as part of being in this program. They were able to see their performance tracked over time, and actually, studies were done, surveys, I should say, were distributed to the practices to see if they liked this type of feedback, and we actually got really good responses. It actually changed their attitudes on their EHR use. So we distributed these quarterly, and again, it came from the data that we got on the monthly transmissions. So again, that's how it was helping us work with the patient, the practices. This is just some of the results of the Healthy Hearts program. It was a year-long program for the CHCs. If you can see under the average per practice over 10 providers, we had around 73,000. We actually had a number of CHCs max out at the 100,000 cap, which was great. For those practices that didn't max out, we did a lot of drill down to find out really why they didn't max out. Interestingly enough, aside from documentation issues, we found at one practice that the medical assistants and the nurse practitioners were rounding the blood pressure. So if your blood pressure was 128 over 78, they would just write 130 over 80, and your patient no longer looked like they were controlled, so the provider wasn't getting paid. So we just had to do trainings like that to make sure that they were documenting appropriately. The next program that they're eligible for that actually just rolled out in October is a Healthy Quits program. It's a CDC program geared around improving cessation intervention rates. So the practices are encouraged to either advise and counsel their patients or prescribe a medication. I included this graph here that just shows that the percent of smokers since 2002 has decreased by 27% in New York City, which I believe is about 350,000 adult smokers, by large scale attempts such as, you know, media advertising, taxation on cigarettes, things like that. And we're looking for this rate to go down further with more focused approach being the clinical intervention. So other efforts that we help the practices with is patient-centered medical home recognition. This just lists out, I guess, all the support that we do offer them. We do train them on the standards and elements. We do an assessment for them to see where they are currently as far as the standards go. And then we help develop a work plan with them to help get them to their goal, let's say if it's level 3. Once their practice is practicing at the level 3 level and they've accumulated all the documentation they need to apply, we actually help them with the documentation itself. I did add in here that PCIP applied for PCMH recognition as a multi-site, even though we don't see patients. I just want to be clear about that. What we did apply for was strictly electronic health record functionality. So does the EHR do referral tracking? Does it alert the provider if a lab is abnormal? So we got those 36.75 points for that type of information. And we're actually able to, I guess, share these points with the practice once they're applying. So they've demonstrated through the data that they're sharing with us that they're using the functionality of the system, and we're then able to share the 36.75 points for them. It's really key because it helps eliminate a lot of the burden with the application process. So we've heard good feedback from that. So to date, we've had 30 community health center sites approved at patient-centered medical home. We have 14 currently awaiting approval, and 18 are in the process of getting their application together. On average, I would say it takes about 6 months to get a community health center application ready for a level 3 submission. So it takes a good amount of time for everyone to get on board. That said, a lot of the work we do is really bringing the right people to the table. It's not just about having the doctor say, here's how I do it. It's about having, you know, the MAs and the RNs and, you know, the information technology representatives really discuss, you know, what does the reporting look like? Everyone kind of has to be in the open discussion. So that's kind of a lot of the technical assistance we provide as part of our on-site visits. So lastly, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how we've transitioned from the Primary Care Information Project to NYC REACH, which is a federally designated regional extension center for New York City. We're really there to help our providers get to meaningful use. That said, we've since expanded from working just with primary care providers to specialists as well. The great news, I guess, for us is that the founder of PCIP, who helped implement a lot of these things such as the clinical decision support, is now actually working at the Office of National Coordinator. So things that were rolled out into the New York City build, I guess, our providers have been used to a little bit more as it relates to meaningful use. So I've just included here a little chart that shows the overlap between the meaningful use measure and how it relates to our CDSS. Lastly, specifically, we've created a program for our CHCs. It's a learning collaborative. They attend 6 full-day sessions at our facility where they learn about specific criteria for the meaningful use stage 1. We've partnered with one of the leading health centers, so it's been really helpful to have the health center speak to the actual rollout of the electronic health record and how it's implemented. I'm sure they don't want to be hearing from me. These are the things you need to do. It helps to have the other health center, you know, speaking to the actual the way it rolls out at a health center. So we, through that program, we actually provide quality improvement phone assistance. So we touch base with these practices on a regular basis to see how their PDSA cycles are going. We also continue with the on-site technical assistance. But really what we're doing, what we're really proud of, is bringing everyone to the table. So we have the electronic health record vendor present, and we have any other vendors that need to be. So for example, with the lab session, we actually got all of the lab vendors on the call. And it was really helpful for the practices to help identify their issues and quickly solve them, rather than doing a lot of this pointing fingers. It wasn't me, it was the vendor. So. So we've had a lot of successes to date with meaningful use. I'm not going to go into these, but just say really that we didn't just focus on meaningful use once the final rule came out in July. We've been working on this for a while with our practices, so they've been used to, you know, documenting in specific areas, you know, looking at their patient populations and things like that. We have had some improvements since July, definitely around transitioning practices from unidirectional to bidirectional lab interfaces, or even getting them onto a patient portal. So there's definitely still movement that we can make. That said, we do continue to have challenges. So like I said earlier, getting that list of patients per provider continues to be a challenge. So really working out, I guess, the policies and procedures on an individual basis. Evaluating practice performance. So many of our practices are really just kind of waiting for that next version of the electronic health record that's certified in order to see, okay, you're telling me I need to, you know, assess 40% of my electronic prescriptions are being sent out. I can't run that report right now. So we're anxiously awaiting to see what reports are going to be available as well. And then just some of the other things include making time to, you know, actually address these. So my last slide, I promise. So today, tomorrow, and beyond, as you saw, we pretty much tripled the size of the health centers we work with right now. So we also tripled the size of our team. We've hired a dedicated super user, another quality improvement specialist, and a billing specialist to help our community health centers. We're continuing helping them with the Healthy Quits and any other pay-for-performance programs that are out there, including patient-centered medical home and meaningful use. But I did want to say that since our bureau falls under the healthcare access and communications. A lot of the work we do really feeds up into our health commissioners, I guess, decision making for how to move forward with community health centers. So if you have any questions, please look us up on the web. We're doing some very exciting things, which I hope you're able to soak up today. And that's my email. Thank you.